Welcome to the program. I'm your host, Skylar Smith, and this is How About Them Chiefs.
Thanks for listening, everyone. I'm your host, Skylar Smith, and this is How About Them Chiefs. For this weekly podcast episode, I'm going to have my brother on the show, Stu, and we're going to go ahead and talk about the NFL free agency because it's officially started. The Chiefs, what they've lost, who they've picked up, and also the rest of the league, and how this quarterback carousel is finally kind of nailed into place. Talk about our opinions of how Veach has some big decisions to talk about the cap space now, because now the Chiefs only officially now at the moment have $177. So I know there's definitely going to be some moves and trades coming up. Also, how we're dealing with this coronavirus and dealing with no sports on TV and having to be quarantined. And hope you guys are all staying safe out there and washing your hands and practicing social distancing. So without further ado, let's go ahead and call my brother Stu and start the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how are you?
Thanks for doing this again.
Of course. Of course. Anytime to talk about football and not be concerned with the coronavirus.
Speaking of that, how are you surviving right now with no sports and being quarantined?
Well, the NFL, I forgot what thing it's called, but there's like an NFL.
NFL pass.
Yeah, you can watch all the games for like the next like 2 months. So that's how I've been getting through it.
I was going to mention that because right now that's what I've been doing. I actually went back and watched the AFC Championship game. I went back and watched the conference game we had against the Texans and also, of course, the Super Bowl. But I've watched that way too many times. But I don't know if you've checked it out yet, but they had the Raider game against the Chiefs with when Jamal Charles scored 5 touchdowns. I watched
that. Oh, nice.
And I forgot about that game that Eric Berry had 2 picks, too. So I miss Eric Berry. Do you?
Yes, I do. I miss Eric Berry. But, you know, now we have Tyrone Matthews, so I guess we'll have to get by.
Yeah. I want to talk about the free agents we lost.
Yes.
So, like, we lost Kendall Fuller, we lost Blake Bell, Reggie Ragland, Emmanuel Ogbog, and we lost Steven Winowski, the offensive guard, and also Jordan Lucas.
Great names.
So we lost a lot of guys, they're key parts of this offense and defense. But I mean, at the moment, I know Veach is going to make some changes because the cap space right now, I don't know if you've been looking into it, we only have $177. Not thousand, $177. So there's definitely be some cuts. There's definitely be some trades coming up. So I want to talk about the free agencies, though, now that we are signing at the moment that are going to, I hope, improve this team that we already lost some people. But we'll start off with our first signing we have is Antonio Hamilton, the cornerback from the Giants. I don't know if you saw that signing first off. I know it wasn't very flashy, but because the free agency, you know, we don't have a lot of cap space to begin with. But I really like this signing because he's like a special team ace. He's got a lot of speed. And he's going to, I think, take over with Jordan Lucas's role. I don't know if you ever followed or ever seen of his plays when he played for the Giants. I don't know, we don't watch the Giants very often, but have you heard anything else about this guy?
I saw the highlights like on the Chiefs Kingdom. So I saw him, like, there was like a touchback or something where he like jumped like crazy, like 6 feet in the air and stopped the ball from going in the end zone. So you could tell he's definitely super athletic. So anytime we can get some more X factors like that, it's a win for us.
Yeah. Cause he's definitely athletic. Cause he came out of, I think the Oakland Raiders actually, in fact, back in the day when, you know, Al Davis, all he wanted to do was get speed. And so I know he entered the combine and he ran, like, I think it was a 4.38 40. So he's definitely lights out speed. Also, he was a return man in college. So that might be a possibility role that he might take on, because I know Mecole Hardman, I think he's going to expand his role being a receiver more, and maybe we'll take away from returning kicks, but I don't want to take that away from him yet. But I don't know, he's 6 foot, 195 pounds. He's basically a special teams guy. But I really like that, and I think the reason why we let Jordan Lucas go is because he got paid pretty good by the Bears. And so I don't think we could have kept that up. So, and he's a backup player, so you don't want to spend a lot of money on backups. And so I think they went out and got Antonio Hamilton. And then one thing that's funny about him, I don't know if you saw the TikTok challenge that everyone's been doing about changing.
Mm.
I don't know if you saw that or following that at all. So if you haven't seen it, it's pretty funny. It's on Twitter. It's on Instagram. He had where he's dancing to the song, it's like light switch, and he's wearing all Giants gear. As soon as he hits a light switch, he's wearing all Chief gear. And it was funny because a lot of people were seeing this right away and they're like, what a bandwagoner fan. And they didn't realize that he's actually the chief player. So, I mean, I know he's not like a big name guy, but I thought that was pretty funny already that he's already doing that. But another guy that we picked up was Mike Remmers, offensive guard, tackle.
Yeah.
He also played for the Giants. And I think he's a great pickup because Cam Irving, we didn't want to pick up his deal anymore because he would have cost us, I think it was $3.2 million more. Or he was actually at $4.7 million cap hit for this season. And so definitely didn't want to spend a lot of money for a swing tackle. And I think Mike Remmers is a proven veteran. I know the Giants, he started 14 games for the Giants last year, and his ideal role would be a backup. I don't know if you know anything about him, but he played for the Vikings. He's been around a while. What do you think about that signing?
Well, it's typical. Chiefs love to pick up journeyman linemen. That's like their forte. They pick up those journeyman linemen, and then they pick up cornerbacks that are off the street because we've never had. I think that the Chiefs eventually are just going to get rid of all cornerbacks. They're just going to like call them something else because they just don't. For whatever reason, it's just one of those positions. It's like a revolving door for us. But yeah, I think he's a good pickup just because it's depth of the linemen. I think that we need to find guys that are older in their career that are on the cheaper side but are willing to, you know, set aside some budget just to make the get a ring and play with Mahomes. But I think it's a great pickup.
Yeah, because he's definitely going to be cheaper for us. I know the Giants, it says here, he made how much money did he make here? Sorry. He had $2.5 million deal last year for the Giants. So he's definitely going to be cheaper than what Cameron Irvin was probably asking for because that's where he didn't extend his deal. So I think it was a good sign. Also, with this cap space that we have to go cheaper options, and I think it was a good pickup. And then lastly, it was very interesting. I don't know if you saw this guy. It was Jordan Tamahu. I'm probably saying his name wrong. Hawaiian. He played great quarterback name. From Ole Miss. Yeah, great name. And he balled out, really, in the XFL this past season for the St. Louis Bottlehawks. But he's a quarterback. Do you really think – what do you think about this acquisition that Veach went out and got?
I don't know if it's a developed guy, you know, like a good backup like the RG3 thing when they had him where he's pretty mobile and kind of similar to Mahomes. And they could develop him because they need to find guys like that are, you know, that are more of a, you know, high risk, low reward. They're going to have that ability of keeping under the cap space, but you never find like a hidden talent. So it's probably going to be a guy they're going to really work to develop because I know they can't keep, you know, four or three quarterbacks with Mahomes' salary coming up. But I think it was a good pickup. We'll see. I'm interested to watch him in preseason. If there's a preseason.
Yeah, I know exactly. I really liked him at Ole Miss, or him playing quarterback, because he did really well there. So looking at his stats at Ole Miss, he threw over 30 touchdowns in 19 games for the Rebels, and he had over 5,000 yards. So he entered the league originally for the Texans as an undrafted free agent, but he didn't make the team. He was cut. And then he made, you know, his fame right now with the XFL with the Battlehawks. He finished third in the league with the XFL with 1,000 yards passing and seventh in the league with 217 yards rushing. So I think he'll be maybe he might be like something like Taysom Hill, like the New Orleans has, you know, like a little gadget because he's very athletic. So he can, you know, catch the balls out of the backfield maybe. Who knows? Like Andy Reid always comes up with some crazy plays. So we'll see what happens. Maybe he makes a team. But I think he's most mainly going to make the third string spot because I know Chiefs, you know, Andy Reid likes to carry three quarterbacks. I know Shermer was a practice squad guy, so I think those two will battle in camp. Because Chad Henne, we just paid him money to extend him. I doubt we're going to, you know, cut and lose Henne right now and paying him money as a backup. So, but anyways, I thought that was a good call pickups that we had. And last, or we actually have, I want to talk about too, is the people we brought back for the Chiefs. And I was super excited to see the sausage, Sherman back as a Chief, the fullback. I mean, his camp arrivals are just enough that I want him back. I mean, what do you think about bringing back the Sherman?
Super exciting. You know that he's from the Boston area, and that like he was like, I think he had like four state titles when he was in high school, like a total stud. He was a running back at the time, running back and a middle linebacker. Great person to follow. If you have social media on Twitter or Facebook or whatever it's called, or Snapface. So he's a great character, and he would be a lot of fun to run behind going through these A gaps with him because he just seems like he's just a bust.
He turns turns 31 this year in December, but he threw a very good block. If you remember watching the Super Bowl,
that's right.
I've watched too many times now for Damian Williams when he scored that 38-yard touchdown to basically clinch the Super Bowl. So he's an excellent special team player that always does very well for the Chiefs. You know, he gets down, he likes to hit people. He like was, I think, tied second with the team with 8 tackles last season. So he'd definitely be back in there. I know his play usage wasn't used as well as he usually does, but he does come out in blocks. He does do special teams, and he's just that guy you want to have in the locker room.
Absolutely.
So I really like that. And his camp arrival last year, I don't know if you remember watching it, but he showed up in a NASCAR. So, I mean, what do you think he'll come up with next? I don't know.
I bet you he's going to come in like on an elephant or something, like because of the whole tiger exotic thing that just came out.
Yeah.
I bet you he rolls up in like an elephant or something over the top.
Yeah, so I was excited about that signing. But another one I was really excited about was DeMarcus Robinson coming back.
Yeah.
Receiver-wise. Like, I think he tried to see out in the market to get signed for more money, but I think he realized that he wants to come back for the Chiefs because who wants to not catch passes from Pat Mahomes? Like, who doesn't want to be with the best quarterback in the league? And I think he realized going out there, maybe the money's not worth as much, and maybe, you know, maybe I'll take a little bit of pay cut, because I think the market – for receiver right now is not very well like up there right now, because the draft coming is going to be explosive. We're going to have so many different receivers coming out. So I think he just realized maybe I should go back to the Chiefs and talk to them, do it. And so I'm glad to see him back, because he'll be someone who's familiar with the offense. Because, you know, with this coronavirus thing going on now, I don't know how rookies are going to come into training camp. They're even going to be up to speed. So I was very happy about this pick. What did you think about this signing?
Two things. First of all, like you just said, it is great because the more guys that we have on that winning roster to come back, because it's such an advantage with this coronavirus, because these new coaches, new schemes, they're going to be light years behind, you know, the Sean Paytons or the Bill Belichicks that have that same kind of, you know, kind of revolving type of practices. They don't have to learn new systems. So it puts us in a really good situation. So I think that was a good sign from that perspective. We don't have to be training a new receiver. On the other side, it made me think, okay, if we're going to sign Robinson, what are we still going to do with Watkins and Jones? Because I don't think – now I would think there, if we only have $100 left in salary, I don't even know how that's even going to work. How are we going to keep all three of those people in on – I just don't see how, if we sign Robinson, either you know – Watkins is gone or Jones is gone. There's just got to be something. So I thought that was pretty interesting as well.
Yeah, so that makes me to believe, I'll talk about that coming up a little bit, like what's going to happen with Jones and with Sammy Watkins. Because now it's with the cap space, with $177, someone has to get cut, and there's going to have some roster changes definitely, because we can't sign. I think we have to have some cap space for the draft class coming in. I'm not too sure on that. I don't know the numbers. I'm not a big number guy with the math, with the cap space, but I think that we have to have more than $177 to sign up the draft class, unless that doesn't come until next year. I don't know how the cap works. Hey, so I'm not sure what's going to happen with Sammy Watkins and Chris Jones, like you were saying, because we have a cap space now, what, $177? Definitely someone's going to have to be cut, and there's going to be some roster changes. So I'm not sure about what's going to happen there, but I'll talk about that a little bit. But right now I want to talk about, too, another guy we re-signed, and I'm very excited. I think it was probably the best that we re-signed was Mike Pinnell. I mean, I think that was a huge step that we needed to have back on our defense, because when he came back, our run defense stepped up, and it was very impressive. You saw him plug the holes, and you definitely saw him take some linemen away from the linebackers to make plays, because our run defense was terrible before he showed up. How do you feel about that signing?
That was good, because I think the Cowboys were trying to go after him as well. So he chose Chiefs because of, you know, the fact where we're at and the rankings, and we just won the Super Bowl. But that was awesome, because we could have easily lost him. He could have took a bigger contract, but he decided to stay with us. But you're right, yeah, because I think they signed him off the street. So
yeah,
the fact he came in and did what he did, we're really fortunate to have him. I know Spags loves him.
Because he's definitely, you know, he turns 29 in May this year, and it was a pleasant surprise that the Chiefs were able to pick him up as a free agent. I mean, for how well he was playing. I mean, the team's defense definitely improved, and he was part of that playing rotation of the defensive line in the final 8 games, which was great to see. And you know, it was kind of cool too, because he's a Topeka native. So he's from Kansas area. You know, he ended up having 24 tackles, a sack, and he had a quarterback hit and two tackles for a loss on 154 snaps, defensive snaps. I mean, including the three postseason games for the Chiefs, he totaled seven tackles and had a quarterback hit on 52 defensive snaps. And, of course, you know that quarterback hit that he had against Guapro that made that pick for Breland. So right. He definitely made some plays with Chris Jones. So I think his true value coming out was outside the box, though, because, I mean, he's definitely – his ability to disrupt the middle and his draw blockers away helps free the Chiefs linebackers, like I was saying, to make tackles. And, I mean, it's – I love this pick. I love this signing because I think he's a very important part of this defense. So now let's talk into about Chris Jones and Sammy Watkins, because this is now a hot topic. Because now with $177, I know it's a broken record, I keep saying this, but now with $177, what is Veach going to do? Because he's got some tough decisions to make now. I mean, we definitely improved our defense last year with all the signing that we had with Frank Clark and Mayhew and all that and Honey Badger. But now he's got a decision. Is he going to pay Chris Jones? Is he going to keep Sammy Watkins? So in your opinion, what do you think is more vital for the team to go moving forward with this team right now? Do you think Chris Jones is more important to this team or Sammy Watkins with this offense?
I think Chris Jones is more valuable just because he's such an impact defensively. However, he was injured quite a bit throughout the years. Same with Sammy Watkins. What's hard with Sammy Watkins is his regular – if you had asked me before the playoffs, I would have said it's a no-brainer. But the way Sammy Watkins played in the playoffs is really why we paid him so much money. If we have that type of production throughout the season, it's justifiable. But I would say easily right now it's Jones, because we know there's a bunch of good receivers that are going to be coming through the draft. There's probably going to be a couple others that are going to be free agents that are still be available just because everyone's waiting for to see how the draft all lays out. But yeah, I would say right now, I'd say Jones.
So this is probably going to piss off a lot of Chief fans, me saying this, but I know Chris Jones was drafted by the Chiefs and Sammy Watkins we re-signed and wasn't, you know, a true Chief, I guess you'd say, from free agency. But I think Sammy Watkins is the one you have to keep. And let me just tell you why. So Chris Jones originally was drafted for a 3-4 defense. We switched to a 4-3 now. Spags defense is a rotation defensive line. So he definitely can mix people out. And they never, when he had his defense, Spags had his defense, he always had rotation defensive linemen. He didn't have the high pace defensive linemen, really, to be honest. I mean, he had Mike Strahan, I guess you'd say, but like really they can rotate him out. And I know when Chris Jones was down injured, the Chiefs are still doing well. And I know he made a great plays knocking balls down. I love seeing that because I think he does disrupt the middle and he's very important. But I think if you look at the AFC West, all our AFC West rivals, what have they been doing this free agency so far? They've been loading up on defense. So they're definitely trying to stop our offense. And I think if we keep Sammy Watkins and keep that going, I think that'll be a good thing. But at the same time, how do you keep this cap space? And Jones, I think, wants to get paid top dollar, obviously. Are we willing to pay someone top dollar that we're going to rotate out? I mean, that's the thing that the Chiefs have to look into and Veach has to look into. But, I mean, it's a hard sore subject to figure out who do you want. I mean, I think Chris Jones is a better player. I think you stick with him. But with the schemes that the Chiefs have, I think you have to stay with Sammy Watkins. I know it sounds weird. You have to restructure his deal. There's no way. And if he can't restructure his deal, he's got to go. I hate to say it. There's a lot of receivers coming in the draft, and you have to have someone up to speed, and maybe you find someone cheaper that wants to, you know, ring to jump on ship. But I hate to say it, but this is what I think is going to happen with Sammy Watkins and Chris Jones. I think Veach right now has been trying to get trade partners with Chris Jones for a lot of load up on draft picks because we only have 5 picks coming up in this draft. I think he's also trying to trade Sammy Watkins at the same time because he knows we can't afford Sammy and keep him on with the salary cap. He's trying to restructure his deal, but I don't think Sammy's going to take that much of a pay cut. I know he said he wanted to stay as a Chief, but we'll really see what it's going to come down to. But I think in the long run, I think Chris Jones gets traded for more picks. And I think the Chiefs try to trade out Sammy Watkins if people didn't like who they have in their draft. I think that's what's going to end up happening. And the other person I think that the Chiefs should look into is a cap casualty too, is Anthony Hitchens. Like, I know we signed him all that money coming from the Cowboys, but he really hasn't made dividends for what he's done. I mean, I know he kind of improved towards the end of the year, but I think a lot of it had to do with Mike Pennell. But I think we overpaid for him also, just as Sammy Watkins did too. If you look at the numbers, I don't think he's worth the money that we paid him for. But at the time, we were desperate. Do you think that's even a possibility that they release Anthony Hitchens?
They're going to, if they want to keep Sammy Watkins and Jones, they'll have to. I won't be surprised, because regardless, in 2 or 3 years, we're not going to have Watkins or Jones. We can't, because we're going to be paying Mahomes. So, but here's the risk that's at hand. Right now, we're in this virus. Our guys can't look at – our scouts can't look at the players. All they're going off is film. They couldn't go to any of the pro days, all that stuff. So, really, it's a really difficult time to have a good perspective on who we could draft because of this virus. So, maybe it's one of those things where we just say, we'll just roll the dice. Let's just try keeping as many people as we can. We'll deal with this next year when we actually are able to do more recruiting and look at the guys we want to bring in. Or is it, hey, let's trade these guys now. Let's get draft picks for next year. I don't know. But regardless, I don't see how all three of those guys are going to be wearing a Chiefs uniform if we're going to be paying Mahomes $50 million a year or whatever that's going to be. But, I mean, I don't know much about the draft and middle linebackers. I don't really think it's – I don't think a middle linebacker or an outside linebacker – not a middle linebacker is not worth the value of what we're paying him. And anytime you do free agency, you overpay. So it's just part of the nature of the business. But with that said, I wouldn't be surprised. But again, I think all three of those guys are going to be gone in 2 years from the Chiefs.
Yeah, because the year after this season, there's going to be less people that have to be re-signed. I mean, more people to re-sign. So it's going to be one of those things that Veach has got to make some tough decisions. I mean, he had a really good draft class last year with the picks that he had. I mean, everyone was a hit. I mean, everyone played a lot. It's essential. So, I mean, we already picked a lot of money or picked up already for Saunders on defensive line. We also, who's the other young guy, Naughty. So that's why I'm saying, like, I think that Chris Jones might be on his way out because we might have cheaper options.
Yeah.
But if I wishful thinking, this is the best case scenario for the Chiefs, is that Chris Jones plays on the franchise tag. Sammy Watkins restructures his deal. And Anthony Hitchens restructures his deal. Well, also, too, Honey Badger, there's ways that we can restructure his deal and get more bonus pay up front. That way they have more cap space. Because we already know Veach did it with Frank Clark. So there's another person that possibly, you know, I just brought thinking that off the top of my head right now. But there is ways that he can get cap space. But we'll see what he's going to do. But now, I think in the long run, I don't want to be Veach's job. But I think he's been doing a great job with the Chiefs. I mean, we got a Super Bowl ring the first time in 50 years. So if you're going to complain that we have no cap space, like, he got us a ring with the players that he put on the field. So I have all the respect for Veach, and I love, like, all the moves he's made so far with free agency. And he's done really smart for what he's been, you know, inherited. I think John Dorsey kind of put him in a bad hole with all the free agency. Like, he had to dump Eric Berry. We had to dump Derek Johnson. We had to dump Tom Ali. So, like, you already know that that was really hard for Veach to do as coming in as a GM for the Chiefs, because those are all household names for the Chiefs. You know, you got to remember that. They were all household names. We got rid of all those people for free agents, and it worked out. So I really believe in him, and I want to also talk about the free agency of the rest of the league. So the other – you know, Teddy Bridgewater in Carolina Panthers. Did you see this coming?
I mean, it was kind of – I didn't, because I don't even know much about that coach. All I know is he got paid. That coach got paid a lot of money, and I don't even know – I mean, he used to coach at Baylor, so that's going to be interesting. And I saw his press conference, which he was very passionate. I just don't – it's all confusing to me. I don't understand. I think Ron Rivera is a really good coach. I really don't understand that whole aspect, but – I mean, I don't really – Teddy Bridgewater, I think he's a good quarterback. I think that he doesn't make mistakes. I think he'd be a good quarterback for a team that has a good, well-run defense. He might be a bridge for them. But I'm excited to see what Teddy can do for them, because I've always liked Teddy Bridgewater.
I mean, he came back from an injury that you almost thought he's going to lose his leg. Like, he thought he was never going to play football again. And the fact that he came back the way he did and you know, rode the bench, the Vikings, even though he should have been the starter and Case Keenum was balling out. But – you know, and then he goes to the Saints for a backup role. And then He could have left for more money after the Saints the first year, but he decided to stay. You want to go to Miami Dolphins and go in that dumpster fire. And then he's ended up staying with the Saints, and Drew Brees goes down. He comes in, balls out for five games, and now he's getting paid. So I'm happy to see him go there. I mean, Carolina obviously wanted a culture change. They changed everything because they lost Luke Kuechly now to retirement. They lost Cam Newton now they released, which another topic I want to talk about. I mean, a former MVP is gone. Yeah, it's just crazy that Carolina's, you know, wiping everyone out there, but I guess they had to do a change. Speaking of Cam Newton, now, what do you think he's going to go? Because all these quarterbacks have signed elsewhere. He's kind of screwed now. I don't think he's got a starting job anywhere. Do you think he does?
I think after the draft, he'll be picked up by somebody. Because I think everyone now, they're just going to wait till the draft's over, see who they can draft as a quarterback, and go from there. A couple areas, honestly, it really depends all on the draft. We know that teams available now that are looking for a quarterback, but he could be a guy that could be sidelined until someone gets hurt because he's not going to come in there for a pay cut. He's an expect top dollar. He's been a number one pick. He's won an MVP. So I would be shocked if he gets picked up before the draft, but I have no idea where he's going to go. I thought maybe the Redskins, but I don't think so now. If they have Josh Allen, they have Haskins, all those other different guys that are at quarterback. So I don't know what he'll fit at, and I don't know where he is health wise.
So this is a take I wanted to talk about a little bit, but I think this is very interesting. I think a lot of NFL teams are doing this right now. But did you notice all the quarterback carousel? Did you know every team is picking a different quarterback that's completely different what they had last year? Like completely different. Like, look at Carolina. You had Cam Newton, ran with his legs, whatever. I know he was injured, but, like, more of a runner, not very accurate, big arm. Teddy Bridgewater, very pocket passer. He does not have a big arm, and he's very accurate. Doesn't turn the ball over. Completely different than Cam Newton. You look over at, you said Ron Rivera now at Washington Redskins. I mean, people thought, oh, Cam Newton will go there. It was very interesting that he picked Josh Allen. Completely different quarterback than Cam Newton. So, like, they went totally different. You look at the Bears. Nick Foles now is the quarterback over there, taking over. I think he's going to take over Trubisky. Completely different. Big arm, pocket passer. Trubisky, he was very inaccurate. He was more of a mobile guy. Completely different quarterback now. Matt Nagy now has Foles back in there, that chemistry. So I can see that reason why, but completely different quarterback. Then you look at Tampa Bay. Jameis Winston, he throws 3 touchdowns, 30 picks. He's all over the place. He's inaccurate. And he's got a big arm, and he's a more of a runner. He can run around a little bit. Tom Brady, pocket passer. He's got still got a good arm, but he's 43 years old, whatever he is now. You know, father time right now he's facing. But he's completely different. Doesn't turn the ball over. Very accurate. So, I mean, a lot of teams have been doing different. And you look at L.A. Chargers. They went from Phillip Rivers, the old father time, and he's pocket passer, not running around, to Tyrod Taylor now. Completely different. Do you think this is a coincidence?
I have no idea. Like I don't know what
different now what because it didn't work.
What's going on? Because I just feel like none of it makes sense. However, I'm so glad it's happening in the AFC because it's just I just feel like we have arguably the best quarterback on the entire planet that's ever lived. He could throw left-handed, right-handed. So I mean, I'm not worried about any other teams in the AFC, so they can keep trying to figure out all they want. So I don't really – I can care less because they have to try catching up with Mahomes, which I don't see how anyone can.
Yeah, the only thing I want to say now too is who do you think now is a team that's going to really put the Chiefs on their heels now? Like who is a team that you think is going to step up?
No one's going to take over the Chiefs, but because like, I really think Chiefs. That the Chiefs are going to – like they're going to – their best football is ahead of them. I think the fact that this virus is going on, it makes them even more of a better team just because they're so intact and they have their offense all figured out. They're going to make it work with whatever they decide to go with because everyone's coming back from a coaching standpoint, our offensive coordinator, our defensive coordinator. So I don't see anyone that can compete with us. I mean, they're going to compete, but I just feel like we're so much the heavy favorite. With that said, I think the typical teams that we're going to be constantly battling with are going to be the Ravens. I know Lamar Jackson cannot play well in the playoffs. It's been 2 years in a row. He just has not played well in the big games. I think that's a trend. I think that's going to continue happening. But the one team that I would say I was the most feared about the two teams was the Texans and the Colts. But now that the Texans got rid of their number one wideout, not worried about them. But the Colts. The Colts, I would say I'm worried just because they are such a really well-rounded football team. And now they have a quarterback who has, you know, a lot of history, a lot of experience. I know he had a really bad year last year, but he did not have the offensive line that the Colts have right now. So if I were to say the two teams that I was concerned about, it would be the Colts and the Ravens. However, with that said, I will always be keeping my eye on Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, because you never know what he's going to has up his sleeve. Because you don't know. I mean, this guy Stidham, he may be legit. He may be the next Tom Brady. We don't know. They seem very confident that they didn't even offer Brady a contract. So those are the three teams I said have will be competing with or trying to compete with the Chiefs.
So going back to the Texans now, you brought this up. I forgot to mention this, but did you see Deshaun Watson's cryptic text messages and he's like Twitter now because of how Deshaun
Watson's leaving? I did. I mean, I just feel like
Hopkins is gone. I think he's going to go. I don't think he's going to sign a fat contract with the Texans. I think next year he's going to try to see you and test the free agent market. I mean, the Texans probably try to do a franchise tag, but I think he's unhappy. And rumors now, everyone has rumors that the Patriots are going to try to pick him up and all that stuff. But, I think he'll be with the Texans.
I think that
he's going to stay.
Bill O'Brien, if anything's going to change, he'll be gone.
Yeah, I think he's seen a lot of stuff leave. And then you know, Bengals, I want to talk about the Bengals. Because Andy Dalton now is still a Bengal. And you're talking about Stidham. That's what it was. So you're talking about Stidham, the Patriots, right? How great he's, you know, how good he's going to be, we don't know. But I guess Jordan Palmer, which is also Carson Palmer's brother, was saying that he's got a big arm and don't be surprised what he does. So speaking of the Bengals now, because Carson Palmer used to be a former Bengal, they still have Andy Dalton. They still have Bengal. Do you think they're using him as trade bait at this point?
Because I would think that's what they're going to do. It depends on what they're going to do with this first overall draft pick. If they decide they're going to pick a quarterback, then yeah, he will be draft bait. But I mean, I don't see how they're going to keep him. I mean, they benched him last year. He's upset. There's been trade rumors about it. But I do think that a couple things are going to shake up. The only team that I heard that had a lot of interest was the Patriots. They're not going to overspend. And plus, they're high on the cap as well. So if the Patriots don't find ways of shifting money around, I don't see it happening. He may be stuck with the Bengals. Otherwise, I don't know where else he would go.
So my take, I think what they're doing is they're going to keep him and do it like have him as a mentor, like Alex Smith did with Mahomes. I think they're going to bring him in, Joe Burrow in, number one pick. And I don't think he's going to play right away. I think he's going to sit the bench and have him watch. Because the Bengals' offensive line isn't very great, and you're not going to pick your number one quarterback and have him get destroyed. So if they go with Joe Burrow, I think that's what they're going to do. I think they're going to have use Andy Dalton as like a mentor and keep him in, and that's what I think. Because there's no point of doing that. You know, AJ Green right now is franchise tag. Who knows? He even comes back with the Bengals. So but that's my take. But, I mean, this upcoming season, like you said, the coronavirus, you know, might shorten it. And I know now the NFL already approved the playoff system with the extra games. And I know we talked about this before, but
it's all about money, right? That's why they're doing it. I think the good thing that I do like about it is with the AFC and how ahead that we are of the other teams, I feel like we're going to get that first round bye, which would be great because let the other teams just have at it. But it's also a good thing, too, if whatever reason, let's say Mahomes gets injured, we don't have him for a certain amount of games, you could potentially walk in the playoffs at 500 and then run it. So, I mean, either way, I think it's got its pros and cons.
Right.
But I'm trying to stay positive with it just because it's really going to benefit that team that has that first round bye. So if you can get that one seed, I love it all day long. If we have like the two or three seed, yeah, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah, that's I don't like it at all because I think most likely it's hard to win so many games to be that number one seed every year consistently. I don't think if you go back to the data and all that stuff, I don't think most teams go back to back number ones unless you're the AFC East crappy teams that the Patriots played for so many years, but yeah. I don't think that's how the case is for the, you know, the rest of the league. So I don't like it, but I know it's money thing. You get more playoff football. Fans, the average fan will be happy. There's more football to watch. But we'll see what, how that ends up going. But so also I know you're talking about the, you know, the Chiefs, like who's coming up, you know, maybe try to knock the Chiefs down. But I want to talk a little bit about the AFC West. I know there's been a lot of changes on both sides of the ball for all the teams that we've been playing against, you know, the Chargers and with the Raiders now and Denver Broncos. And out of all those teams, who do you think is going to be the number two now in the AFC West?
I think it
– looking at all the
– I think it's so far. It's a ways away. I think it's going to be a battle between a lot of the teams. But if I were to say long-term, because we don't know what the draft's going to look like for the Chargers, because the Chargers can get a legit quarterback and be back in contention, but they always, for whatever reason, they're the most unluckiest team on the planet. I think the team that I think is putting pieces together that in the long run could look really good is going to be the Denver Broncos. I think Locke is a good quarterback. I think he's super athletic. He played really well last year, and they have a great defensive unit. They keep on just unloading on defensive tackles and the ends. So I think – and they just got a really hungry and eager running back from the Chargers. So I think overall, I think the Broncos, but that can change really quickly because if Oakland gets a good quarterback, if the Chargers get a good quarterback, they could be there. But if I were to say right now, put money on it, I think the Broncos –
it's funny. I think the Broncos too, but I still think the Chargers have the best roster. I know their offensive line's a little shaky, and they don't really have a running back now. Austin Eckler is going to be their running back they're paying now, and I think he's a really good running back to begin with. The receiving core is really good, but Tyrod Taylor, like I don't sleep on him because I thought he did really well in Buffalo. I know his stint over in Cleveland, I don't think he even had a chance. I think they already wanted to put Baker Mayfield in to begin with. So I mean, he had to be concussed before they took him out. So I think that's why I don't think the Chargers are up there yet. Maybe, but like you said, it depends on who they draft. But I really like the Denver Broncos. Oakland though, Oakland picked a lot of good guys too in the free agency. But you know, it's the Oakland Raiders. So Las Vegas Raiders. So I mean, I don't know what's gonna happen, but I like you said, I think Broncos. You know, Drew Locke. I think their team's looking really good. I think it's a team I would have to say that would be the team that would be number two next year. But I don't think there's a team that can knock off the Chiefs. I think they're going to own the West. Wow. So, but I don't have anything else to say, man, except stay safe out there. But also, I like just to say before we sign off here is don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter now at How About Them Chiefs. And if you want to subscribe to Anchor and like this podcast.
Go Chiefs.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode, and make sure to check in next week. I'll be uploading more episodes, and don't forget, we're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at How About Them Chiefs. So go check it out, and again, thanks for listening. Go Chiefs!